Good afternoon, Kokomo. See that last second Pacer game last night?
Yeah.
Was that incredible?
I was there.
You were there.
Yeah.
Two fouls in less than 0.8 seconds. Never happened before.
They were both terrible.
They were. Well, the second one was okay.
Yeah.
How many men in the room today are rich, are millionaires? Don't be ashamed to raise your hand if you think you're a millionaire. Okay, got a few scattered throughout the crowd. Not many, though, that would be willing to admit it. Well, how many were millionaires 6 months ago? There you go. How many of you men have children? All right. How many of you men have grandchildren? Now, let me ask the first question again. How many of you men are rich? Every one of us, right? We are multimillionaires if we have children and or grandchildren. Would you be willing to die for your children and or your grandchildren? If this is true, if we would be willing to die for our children, our own flesh and blood, our grandchildren, why is it so many of us are not willing to live for them? Think about that. We would take a bullet for them, but how many of us really are living for them? We've got a problem, men, in our culture. Some of you men know this better than myself. But our children and grandchildren are being raised in a world of declining values, in a godless, secular society. Amen? Over 1 million teenage girls become pregnant each year in our country. By high school graduation, 70% of the girls and 80% of the guys have lost their virginity. A recent poll indicates that 18% of girls and 80% of the boys have lost their virginity, but another poll said that 18% of girls and 25% of guys have seriously actually tried to commit suicide. On top of that, 42% of the girls and 25% of the boys have seriously thought about taking their own lives. The peer pressure on kids today in our country is overwhelming. And the peer pressure is to get our kids and our grandkids to conform to the world's standards and the world's morals. Just a few days ago, I saw in the Kokomo Tribune an article that was followed up on last week. In Kokomo Center Township schools, in this school year, 56 kids have been suspended, out-of-school suspensions. Not out of Kokomo High School, not out of the middle schools, but in the elementary grades. 56 kids from grades 1 through 5 have gotten out-of-school suspensions this school year already. Dr. James Dobson, many of you know him, of Focus on the Family, shared some research revealing how much time we middle-class fathers actually spend with contact with our children on a daily basis. The men interviewed revealed they spend an average of 15 to 20 minutes each day with their one-year-old children. But when microphones were attached to these men, these same men, the average amount of time each father spent with his kid was 37 seconds a day, an average of 2.7 daily encounters of 10 to 15 seconds each. By the way, Christian homes are not immune to this type of situation either. Compare these 37-second encounters with the fact that that same child watches between 4 to 7 hours of television most every day. Knowing those facts, we can expect a frightening apocalyptic future for our kids and grandkids, unless God intervenes. As was discovered in a previous chapter of the book that many of us are reading, The Man in the Mirror, one of the two greatest regrets that men have in their lives today, especially in their 50s and 60s, is they never really got to know their kids. Men, what are some practical steps we can take to alleviate this problem, at least in our families? How can we become the exception to the rule? How can we raise children, and many of us grandkids, without regrets? In other words, what can we do as fathers and grandfathers to mold and shape these young, impressionable lives for eternity? Well, let me tell you one thing I believe we can do. We can help to protect them from the atmosphere and the impact of the world. Not isolate, but insulate them, because they're all going to be out there in the real world. We as fathers and grandfathers need to influence our children and grandchildren as much as possible, as early as possible. Because once they become teenagers, and you fathers of teenagers know this, their friends or their peers exert more influence on them than anyone else in their lives. We need to closely monitor who their friends are. We need to teach them what to look for in a friend. And we need to place them in environments where the right kind of friends can be found. If we do not have a purposeful, planned effort on our parts as dads and grandfathers, our kids and grandkids will most likely select the values and the friends that make them feel the best. That's just human nature. Unfortunately, many things that feel good to our kids and grandkids at first deeply scar their lives. Scar the lives of millions of young people in our country every year. Drugs, alcohol, STDs, teen pregnancies, and the list goes on. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 15 says, "Permissive parenting will only feed foolishness, which is bound up in the heart of a child." We cannot be permissive parents or grandparents. We must help to insulate them for the real world. Secondly, dads and granddads were also told in Scripture not to cause our children to be bitter. One of the few instructions in the whole of Scripture given just to us, just to men, just to dads, Colossians 3:21 says, "Fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged." Angry fathers, it seems to me like, are everywhere. But anger should never characterize the life of a godly father or a godly grandfather. Never. Our kids and grandkids don't need our anger, even though we as fathers and sometimes grandfathers are given the responsibility to discipline them. They need clear standards set for them. They need firm, fair, and consistent discipline and guidance from their dads and sometimes their grandfathers. Number three, men, there is no replacement for time that you spend with your kids or your grandchildren. They really need much of our time and our attention. Of all the abilities you have, the greatest ability is availability for your kids and grandkids. My 52-year-old daughter wrote me a letter recently and reminded me about an event in her life that I had forgotten about. She was about 6 or 7 years of age, and we were driving up to Wheaton, Illinois, back in the early 60s, as a matter of fact. Just she and I, just dad and daughter. And she reminded me that I would pinch her knee, and the lights would blink from dim to bright or bright to dim. And she can figure out how that happened by me pinching her knee. I had forgotten that as well. But she had my undivided attention, no siblings, nobody else, for about 24 hours. Today, Linda is one of the most godly women that I know, and I know I'm biased. I refer to her often as my Proverbs 31 daughter. I like to think that that event that I'd long forgotten about to Wheaton, Illinois in the early 60s was a divine event in her life. She says it was. As a father of three, a grandfather of seven, great-grandfather of one, I cannot stress enough, men, the importance of spending quality time with your kids and your grandkids. Think about this, men. If your child is 9 years of age today, that child has already spent 50% of the time in your home that he or she is going to spend in your home. By the time they're 18, they're off to college, in the job market, and they're gone. 50% if you have a 9-year-old. If you look at it that way, it makes the issue of time become a lot more important, doesn't it? My advice to you men is very simple, but it's also very profound. Spend as much time as possible with these kids and grandkids that we all say we love so much. You will never be sorry. Enjoy and savor every day, every hour, and every moment that you spend with them. When you're on your deathbed, and you've heard this said before, you will never say, I wish I'd spent a little more time at the office. And I hope none of us in this room will say in our deathbed, I wish I had spent more time with my children and my grandchildren. And then fourthly, men, I cannot emphasize enough, bathe your children in prayer and your grandchildren daily. Acts 16:31 says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved, you and your household. I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior at the age of 9. My wife was a procrastinator and waited until she was 10. When we married at the ages of 20 and 19, we began to pray at that point in time diligently for the kids that God would give us. We've been blessed with 2 sons and 1 daughter, and many of you in the room know our children. All 3 of our children accepted Christ as their own personal Savior by the time they were 5 years of age. They left home with their faith, not mom and dad's faith, with their own faith. We've been blessed with the 7 grandkids, and all 7 grandkids placed their faith in Christ at an early age. Dr. Billy Graham spoke about the verse I mentioned a moment ago and indicated that he had learned that in homes in which the father came to faith in Christ first, the entire family came to faith in 60% of the homes. When the wife came to faith in Christ first, 40 to 50% of the entire family became believers. And in families where the child came to faith first, only 25% of the families became Christians. What better way, men, to equip our children and grandchildren for a meaningful life, and that's what we really want for them, a meaningful life, than praying daily for their salvation. I mean praying daily for each one. Yeah, it takes time. It takes concentration. It takes discipline. Do you men pray for yourselves? I hope you do. You should. I do. You understand you have a need for protection from temptations and the need for forgiveness and wisdom and grace and courage and mercy and hope. We pray that for ourselves. Why not pray it for our children and our grandchildren? Who prays for your children if you don't, or your grandchildren? Are not the needs of our fragile kids and grandkids greater than ours? Men, we can make no greater contribution to the spiritual well-being or emotional well-being or physical well-being of our children and grandkids than to intercede for them on a daily basis in prayer. I'm going to give you just a few things to pray for specifically. Number one, obviously, you want to pray for a saving faith, that they will come to a saving faith in Jesus Christ at an early age. Number two, those that have accepted Christ, that their faith will grow, a growing faith. Number three, that they'll have a hunger for Scripture, for the Word of God. Number four, that they will make wise choices, and especially wise choice of friends. Number five, a desire for God's will to be accomplished in each one of those precious lives. Number six, protection from the effects of alcohol and drugs and immoral living. Number seven, the acquisition of wisdom. They're getting knowledge in school, college, grad school, but wisdom comes only from above. Pray that your kids and your grandkids, along with mine, will acquire wisdom. And then it's not too early to pray for the future mate they're going to marry. Pray that the home where that child is being raised up now will be a godly home, that those parents or grandparents will pour in the love of God and a knowledge of the Word and a desire to be believers themselves. It's not too early, even though your child or grandchild may not even be dating or have not met that person. And then pray for them to bring honor and glory to God in all that they do, whether they're digging ditches or practicing medicine, that their lives will bring honor and glory to our Savior. Men, I'm going to ask you another question. When was the last time you asked your child or your grandchild how you could pray intelligently for them? I have to admit, I haven't done that a lot, but I started recently, and it's been really neat for them to tell me what they need me to pray for. He gives me a beautiful window into their lives and what they're struggling with. One of my grandsons here, not too long ago, I said, Neil, I said, how can I pray effectively as you go back off to college? He said, Grandpa, he gave me a list that's in my wallet for me to completely give this year over to God and to use me and grow me. Grandpa, for me not to be too busy and overwhelmed, but to find time for the most important things in life, including ministries. For relationships with roommates and dorm mates and new friends. And then finally, for wisdom with Megan. That's his girlfriend. Men, my wife and I have made many mistakes in raising our children. They tell us often. And even our grandkids. But by the grace of God, over the years, they have told us a few things through letters and cards that they have sent to us unsolicited that impacted their lives and their hearts to follow God, in spite of all the mistakes and the blundering. And with a risk of being misunderstood, I want to do this for your encouragement. Here are some unsolicited comments from my children and grandkids, and even my in-law children. Now, there's a real test, okay? Do you get along with your in-law kids? Can they learn something from you and your lifestyle? Kevin, my oldest son, many of you know him. Some of you played football with him. Some of you played football against him, right, Chuck? Kevin said not too long ago in a letter he sent me, Dad, I am a truth teller, a man of integrity, and known for largely because you have always lived your life non-duplicitously. In other words, Dad, your word's your word. I have a soul connection with you, and this draws your grandchildren to you, your tender heart, your willingness to engage their spirits deeply. It is a gift that can never be taken away from them. And you know, men, to engage our children and grandchildren's spirits deeply takes time. You can't do it in a fleeting manner. It takes time to invest in them. Our daughter Linda, Dad, I've always been convinced of your love for me. I always knew you were a man of God, striving to follow Him in every aspect of your life, personally and professionally. And this is what really got to me. I am convinced that your steady, unfailing love for me has played a huge role in my life in the fact that I have never doubted my Heavenly Father's love for me. Dad, you were always willing to apologize. You may want to write that one down too, guys. It's hard for us men to apologize, isn't it? But I'll tell you, the kids and the grandkids in our lives, they need to hear us say when we're wrong and admit it. Jeff, our youngest son. Dad, you taught me to be generous with all that God has given us. You taught us that money doesn't belong to us. It is God's and we should give back to God without question. You taught me the proper balance between work and home. You were available to me, whether sports, church activities, or just being at home. Dad, you were there. I thank God for the example you have given me as a father, husband, and friend. Thank you always for supporting me. Andrea, our oldest granddaughter, I don't think you realize, Grandpa, how much of an impact you've had on my life. And I didn't. I can't thank you enough for the tremendous prayers you have supported me with. Your character, integrity, spirit, wisdom, laid-back attitude, your drive and your strength. These are the things that have made this family what it is today. Allison, number two granddaughter, we are proud to call you our grandpa. Thank you for being who you are as a lover of Jesus. Thank you for the immense love you model and give to all of us. I often thank God for the legacy you leave daily for your family, your friends, and those that come in contact with you. You enjoy spending time and talking with me so that you know who I am as a person, as your granddaughter, and as a friend. Nathan, oldest grandson. Thank you, Grandpa, for your support for any and all of my extracurricular activities. I can never thank you enough for praying for me every day. I can feel it on a regular basis. Your guidance and model behavior goes a long way. See, you can do this, men, even though you stumble and fall from time to time. They know your heart. They see your heart when your heart is right. Grandson number two, Neil, You are a source of encouragement, strength, support, and wise counsel to those in need. Thank you for your wonderful role model as a man of God, Leanne, granddaughter. I have learned so much of the character of God through you. Wow. That's heavy. I hope that I show the character of God through my life. I trust you do as well. Thank you so much for showing me this through your devotion, your integrity, your wisdom, your generosity, your compassion, and your affirmation. When's the last time you affirmed your child or your grandchild? Letting them know they're just wonderful people, just how God made them. They need that. Because you know Jesus, Grandpa, He has shown me more of Himself through you. Thank you for always listening. Wow. There's a big one. You know, when I'm at home, I'm eating, I'm watching a game on TV, I'm on the phone, and I'm reading a law book. Thank you for always listening. That's hard to come up with and to follow through on. You have set the bar high for whoever the man in my life ends up being. You treat Grandma like a queen. Now, I don't always do that, guys, okay? But hopefully enough in her eyes that she saw something there. I can't wait to spend eternity with you, worshiping my Savior right alongside your side. Love, your favorite granddaughter. Leah, another granddaughter. You are so wise in so many ways. Thank you for always being there for me. Caroline, our youngest granddaughter. You lead our family with strength. Thank you for all the times you've come to my piano and dance recitals. How many of you guys love piano and dance recitals? Nobody. Well, okay, two of you do. You have daughters that have been involved in grandchildren. Okay. Well, I had even had to drive to Detroit to endure that, okay? But she noticed. That's the important thing. She noticed. It really does mean a lot to me. Thank you, Grandpa, for being a role model for how to care about people and to be a leader for the family. Now, here's the real test. My oldest daughter-in-law, Carla, Kevin's wife. And you, I have found her. By the way, her father was killed tragically at the age of 53 or 54. So I am her father in standing. And you, I found someone, not only someone to look up to, but also to laugh with. Someone not only to respect, but also to relate to. Thank you for being just you. You are a stable and continual encourager. Well, I hope so. Paula, daughter-in-law, your unfailing prayers for our family are greatly appreciated. Norm, my only son-in-law, you've given, and his father died at the age of 54 also, very suddenly, very tragically. And he said, you've given me wise counsel. Your life has demonstrated to me those characteristics that there is no law against. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Men, I prefaced what I said in the last few minutes with the fact I might be misunderstood. I hope not. But what they have seen in my life, what I've been able to convey to them, is only because of His love and His grace. And I've stumbled many times, but even a guy that stumbles can do the right thing much of the time. But some of you guys are saying, you know what, I just came to faith in Christ just weeks ago or months ago, and I don't have all the background. I didn't come to Christ at the age of 9, and I have a lot to learn, and I have a lot of baggage, and I have a lot of things I have to overcome. And I understand it. In fact, my wife said last night, you know, there'll be guys there that think they've failed in their lives, and they think that they can never succeed again with their kids and their grandkids. Men, let me tell you something too today. By the way, it's not too late to start. Drive a stake in the ground today and say, from here on, the rest of my life, I'm going to build into my grandkids and my kids. I don't care if they're 50 or 60 or 12. I'm going to build into their lives the character of God. I'm going to challenge you. How many of you don't have to show hands, have already bought Valentine cards for your children and your grandchildren? There's still time. Thank you. There's still time. I went last night, and they're almost gone over, but the point is, send each one of them a Valentine card. Tell them how much you love them, you pray for them, you affirm them, you want God's best for them, and that they're just oozing with opportunities to serve God. You can't imagine what that will do to them. They will save those cards and read them years later. Men, can we still live courageous Christian lives in the 21st century? Can we live our lives to impact our children and grandchildren for eternity? My answer is a resounding yes. Football coach Tony Dungy just finished his 7-year tenure, as you know, with our beloved Indianapolis Colts. He set many records during those years, including winning 12 games in each of seven seasons with the Colts. But I believe the legacy he left, Tony Dungy, feet of clay, the legacy he left with us in our state goes far beyond football, don't you? Because with Tony Dungy, there were priorities in his life, his faith, his family, and football. And that's the way it ought to be in our lives, men. Our faith, our walk with God, our families, and then our occupations. Some of us have it backwards. I'm sure many of you men read the sports page, and sometimes it's not even on the sports page. I happen to clip out some of the things that some of Tony's friends, players, former players have said about Tony Dungy, who is one of my earthly heroes. And you probably read some of them. But I thought the one written by Dave Kitchell, our own Dave Kitchell, of the Kokomo Tribune, made a lot of sense. And I can't read it all. But he says, Dungy not only won more football games than any Colts coach ever, but he did it with professionalism and class. Always a humble winner and a gracious loser. He showed coaches of all sports that winning was possible without sideline tantrums and fits of profanity. He is a world-class coach, but Dave said this, and I say amen to Dave, an even better human being. And the reason why Tony Dungy is a good human being, because he walks with his Lord, and he'll tell you that. He goes on to say, in an emotional farewell speech given Monday night, Dungy said when he arrived in Indy, his goal was to win a Super Bowl. That wasn't enough. His real goal was to win a championship with players who would be outstanding role models in the community. He did just that. And while there, no list of statistics showing the lives he touched that he may have saved in our state and nation as a coach, mentor, and author, I'm certain he's much more proud of those victories than anything else that happened on the field. As much as we'll miss Coach Dungy wearing the Colts blue, we now know he's where he's needed more. We'll share our beloved adopted Hoosier with our nation. Dungy said Monday night that his next challenge in life was to find a way to help make our country better, one child, one family at a time. Dave says, never in my lifetime has that ever been needed more. Amen, Dave. I can't wait to see the result. Well, we won't take the time. My time is already up. But I've got articles here from Warren Sapp, 6'3", 280 pounds. Colts president Bill Polian, Chicago Bears coach Lovie Smith, Buccaneer linebacker Derek Brooks. But Coach Dungy helped to found an organization called the All-Pro Dads. It's spreading around the country, and thanks to some of the men in this room, it's going on here in Kokomo to help us men to become better fathers, better grandfathers, and most importantly, men of God. When they close the lid on my casket, men, I want my grandchildren and my children to say with conviction, there was my dad, or there was my grandpa, and he was an all-pro dad, or he was an all-pro granddad. Raising children and grandchildren without regret. Can it be done? I believe it can, men. How? With our determination, God's help, and being intentional about investing more time, more energy, more prayers into these lives that we care so much about. Many of us would literally die for our children. You said that earlier, and our grandchildren. But we haven't been asked to die for them, have we? All God wants us to do is to live for them. Let's resolve today, men. February 11, 2009, Kokomo, Indiana, to leave our children and grandchildren legacies that will last for eternity. Father, I thank you for these men in this room. They're here because they have been invited, and I trust they have a thirst for walking with you, following you, and being the best role model they can for those precious kids and grandkids that you've entrusted to each one of us. I pray now that this day in our lives, in this room, that you would cause each one of us to resolve from this day forward, besides laying all the mistakes aside, I still have an opportunity to build into my kids and my grandkids. I'm going to take advantage of it and do it because I love you and I want my kids to love you as well and live their lives in a meaningful way to serve you. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.